If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Pretori Law and Tyson's Corner. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Les Smolin, Vistage, Joe Appelbaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, and Brett Freeman, DeLeon on Stang. Mr. Les Smolin, would you please give us a rundown on who we have on the air today?
Sure. We've got Richard Bynum, Regional President, Greater Washington, PNC Bank. Teresa Shields, Studio Director and Principal, Gensler. We have TJ Zlotnitsky, President and CEO, iControl Data Solutions, and Vince Chrysler, CEO and co-founder, Dark Cubed.
Let's get to know our first guest, Richard Bynum, Regional President, Greater Washington, PNC Bank. Richard, what is PNC Bank? What are you guys doing?
PNC Bank is a multifaceted financial services company serving all 50 states in most of our businesses. Here in Greater Washington, we're headquartered downtown, and we serve the district, suburban Maryland, and most of Virginia.
How large or small is this bank?
A little over $300 billion in assets, about 50,000 employees, and in this market, about 2,000 employees.
That's a large bank. Where are you from originally?
Originally Detroit, Michigan.
How many brothers and sisters?
One sister, younger.
A younger sister. You're the oldest of two. And you told us earlier when we were speaking in the green room that when you were 16, you decided you wanted to get a job because you were bored. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I did. So moved to St. Petersburg, Florida, my sophomore year of high school. And after playing a little bit of basketball, decided I wanted to do something different. So
what'd you do?
Rode my bike up and found a gentleman who was opening a Domino's pizza franchise and asked him for a job.
So you rode your bike at the age of 16 by yourself. This was your own idea. You rode it to a store. You spoke to a stranger, and you asked him for a job. What happened?
I did. He gave me a job. I became the mascot. I was a Domino's pizza box, enticing people to know that there was a new shop opening up.
So after you were the Domino's pizza box, what was the next step in your career with Domino's pizza?
Yeah, so I began to take orders, and then within a couple of years, I became a manager in training there at Domino's Pizza.
So wait a second, you went from guy being the Domino's pizza box, standing outside trying to get traffic to come inside, to fundamentally managing the store.
I did.
How long were you there at Domino's Pizza? How many years?
Roughly 2.5-3 years until I finished high school, and then I came back over the summers for another couple of years.
So your nature is to get involved with something and sort of like stick with it. You came back those following summers. Your nature is not to go ahead and do something and then run away and do the next thing and then... It's to go in deep and really learn what you're doing and master it and have people really depend on you, isn't it?
No, I think that's fair. I had a lot of fun. It was a great team.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of sports did you play and what was your role in those teams?
So I was a basketball player. I hurt my knees a little bit later in my high school career, and I played power forward.
So you played power forward. So in basketball, what was that personality trait you had as power forward? What was your role on that team?
You know, it was a bit of a steady Eddie role. Yeah, we had a few plays that I would run. I had a specific role, a specific thing to do, and you know, my job was to get it accomplished.
Steady Eddie. Now, what's that steady Eddie stuff have to do with your being the regional president, Greater Washington PNC Bank?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm not sure there's a direct answer, but you know, my job here, I'm following a gentleman, Mike Harold, who has been a great stalwart in this market since we acquired Riggs in 2005. He's done a fantastic job. My job is to sort of stand on his shoulders and grow this market from where we are.
So your role at the bank is to grow the bank. And to do that, it's a matter of helping further build the team as well as get and develop the customer relationships, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's dynamic. We have a great group of folks in the market, great group of leaders as well, but there's always change. This is a very dynamic marketplace, and there's competitive pressures both with our customers and with our talent. So my job is to sort of marshal those forces and make sure that we're putting the best team on the field and that we're doing them our very best for our customers.
Sounds to me like it's what you were doing at Domino's Pizza. You were helping bring in customers and you're helping manage the team. It's the same kind of stuff all over again.
Well, that's probably true.
Who's got the next question here?
Yeah, putting the best team on the field. You weren't always in banking. What were you doing before this?
Yeah, so this is my second career. My first career was in disaster relief with the American Red Cross.
What was the thing you did well there or best there that you were known for?
You know, I would tell you that it was taking care of my team, giving them the skills that they needed to do the job. And again, you know, it sounds a cliche now, but putting the best team on the field to combat what we were up against.
Where'd you learn to do that as a kid growing up?
Probably in my household. We moved around a lot. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, moved to San Mateo, California, and then to Florida. And so we, you know, were a family of four. We kind of huddled together and got the things done that we needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what do you got? What do you think?
So in moving around during your youth, what was the biggest challenge with that?
Probably not really establishing deep roots. So lived in Detroit for the first 10 years, 4 or 5 years there in California, and then Florida to finish out my high school years. And so for me, you know, you always ran into a group of kids who'd known each other since, you know, birth, it seemed like. So I was kind of always the outsider, always kind of coming in and finding my place.
How'd that experience help you in your business career?
Yeah, you know, I think it's made me pretty resourceful. The notion being that, you know, throughout my business career, actually, I've moved around to a lot of places, Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago, and in doing so, found a variety of people with a variety of different perspectives, and I can bring sort of myself into that mix and affect, hopefully, change that moves the game forward.
Jen?
When you were growing up, who would you say your biggest role model was, and can you give us an example of how they helped you?
Yeah, I'm gonna say my father. I mean, he was a sales guy, you know, not terribly well educated, but was able to leverage, you know, the skills that he had, social skills and the rest of it, into a pretty good sales career. In the middle of a recession, he got downsized, and so he had to sort of marshal himself and marshal his family and still give us what we needed to be successful, and that's what he did.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Richard, what motivates you to reinvent yourself? You've done a couple different things here, and what sort of stimulates you to make changes?
I don't know that I would say that I was stimulated to reinvent myself. I think it was a set of circumstances. When I was with the Red Cross, I had a wonderful 12-year career with that organization and doing what we did and got a lot from that. After my last assignment was September 11th in New York, it was time for me to do something different. So had an opportunity to go back to business school, and a small mid-Atlantic bank at the time came calling, looked at my resume and saw some leadership and management skill that they thought that they could hone into a banking leader, and I accepted that challenge, and the rest is sort of in history.
Mm-hmm. So your role previously with the September 11th thing was what? What was your role?
So I was the assistant director for relief operations in New York for about 60 days. Shortly after the beginning of 2002.
Uh-huh.
So I got married 11 days after September 11th.
Wow.
So a lot going on, uh-huh, both personally and professionally at the time. Took my time with my new bride to do that and then came back and went to work.
So which relative? You say your dad had a major influence. What other adults had a major influence on you as a kid?
Oh, boy. I mean, there were too many to name. I mean, personally, for me, I think the best model for mentorship is you find someone who's doing something very well that you think you can incorporate in your own personal style, and you adapt that. And if you need to engage them directly to sort of figure out how they got to that place, that's wonderful. But I don't think any one person does everything perfectly. So you find people who do one thing perfectly, and you use that.
So you're all about trying to find the right people, and then hooking up in a relationship with them, and taking a little bit of the best from everybody.
That's right. I mean, everyone's got strengths, and I think the best thing, you know, for whether it be a leader or individual contributor, to do is leverage your strengths and use those and don't worry about the rest.
So I'm wondering, you know, do you have personal relationships with your clients as well? I mean, do you get to know
absolutely.
Your clients?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the only way that this business works. You get to know your clients. You find out what's on their mind. What are their worries? What are the things that they're concerned about? And then you talk about what you think you can do, what your bank can do, that's different from other banks.
On a personal level, though, you sounds like me like you probably enjoy the relationships you have with. This is not just purely business. I mean, you're probably picking up things. You're trying to pick up the strengths of the entrepreneurs you're working with, and they're trying to get to know you also. It sounds like it's a give-and-take relationship.
I would agree. So just quickly, before I was appointed president in this market in January of this year, I actually ran our small business division for the company. And so entrepreneurs and small businesses have a special place in my heart, like the notion of sort of creating something out of nothing, if you will, and making that both valuable to your customers, yourself, and your family is huge.
So you're all about relationships. Brad, were you thinking something else there? You have another question? Les?
Yeah, I'm just, Mom, what role did she play in the house, and what do you take from her that you use now?
Mom was fabulous and still is. So Mom was the caretaker in the house. She also worked. She worked at Social Services and actually for the Red Cross, which is how I got my job.
All right, let me have that again.
My mother worked for the Red Cross. She was a social services worker, and I actually graduated in a recession, so she helped me get my first job.
She was. What did your mom do for this for the Red Cross? Let me have that again.
So my mother worked in community services, which, for folks who are familiar, was the old health and safety model. So taught CPR, sold CPR, sold a variety of goods.
Wow, that's a major influence on you.
So it
you
is.
Really, you really come from caring.
I suppose you could say that.
Oh, wow. Give me the website address of this bank called PNC Bank. What's the website?
PNC.com.
PNC.com. Richard, what's the best part of your day? What do you enjoy best about your day?
The best part of my day is when I get to sit down with an employee who's looking for an opportunity to grow their career and just talk with them about it and figure out what I can do to be helpful in that regard.
So you're all about building the team and developing client relationships. I'm telling you, it goes right back to that Domino's pizza stuff we were talking about earlier. You know, it's fascinating
maybe so.
To me. All right, we're speaking with Richard Bynum, Regional President, Greater Washington PNC Bank here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Well, nice
awesome.
Nicely.
And your name is?
Andy Bridge.
And Andy, what organization are you with?
Eagle Bank.
And what's your role at Eagle Bank?
Business development and commercial lending.
And your business development and commercial lending at Eagle Bank. And earlier we were speaking, you were telling me that you like working with a blank piece of paper. What do you mean by you like working with a bank blank piece of paper?
There's no thinking outside the box with us. There is no box. So we start and figure out what a company needs to get started.
So you're sitting with potential clients and you're talking to them not necessarily as a banker, how much money do you need, show me your assets. You're talking to them as an entrepreneur?
That's correct. I've had my own business before I became a banker.
So you're sitting with potential clients and you're tossing around ideas with them?
Absolutely. We got to find out what their goals are, what they want to do this year, next year, and 5 years from now.
And you're actually exchanging ideas with them. I mean, part of it is you got to make sure that they qualify, you know, to be a client with the bank. But part of it is you enjoy the exchange of ideas.
Absolutely. It's fun.
What's fun?
This whole thing. It's not really a job. It's something that's fun. We go out and we have fun. We enjoy ourselves. We watch businesses build.
You enjoy your, so to me, it sounds to me like this is like a playground for you. You're hanging out with these entrepreneurs and these corporations, and even though it has to do with money, to you, it's fun to help them figure out how to help them move forward, what kind of idea. Do you hook people up with the other people? Do you introduce people to different people?
Oh, absolutely. We work with other with CPA firms and law firms, and we help introduce people to make sure that they can grow their business. If they grow their business, my business is going to grow.
What's the website address of Eagle Bank?
EagleBankCorp.com.
We've been speaking with Andrew Bridge, Senior Vice President, Eagle Bank, and we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new you ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this?
Mm.
How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Teresa Shields, Studio Director and Principal of Gensler. Teresa, what is Gensler? What are you guys doing?
We're a global design firm.
Mm-hmm. And give us an idea of how large or how small you guys are.
The firm itself is over 5,000 people, but this office that I'll be co-managing in January is over 400 people.
Wow. And where are you from originally?
Connecticut.
And how many brothers and sisters?
A brother and a sister.
Uh-huh. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
And tell us a little bit about what was going on with you and your siblings when you were 8 to 14 years old.
Yeah. So I was always sort of the leader. And unfortunately for them, I also liked to teach them. So in the summer times, we would play school, and I would be the teacher.
So it was your idea to play school, I assume.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And where would you teach them, and what would you teach them?
We would be in our dining room, and we were usually doing math.
Uh-huh. So you were teaching your siblings math, whether they liked it or not, especially during the summers when you were 10 years old and they were younger. And I'm wondering, what's that teaching at the age of 10 your siblings have to do with building this business called Gensler?
I think it has to do with the fact that I always loved learning, and summers you were off from school, so keep the learning going. And at Gensler, we're always about initiative of learning, and I'm always still looking for understanding new opportunities and ideas.
And then you mentioned as well that you have a lot of initiative. You took the initiative for, in fact, you were selling worms at the age of 5. What was that all about?
We lived near a pond, and I thought it would be a great way to make money, so I started using Maxwell House coffee cans and digging up worms and selling each can for $1.
So this was your own idea?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, so we understand that you like teaching, which is one of the reasons you've been successful. We understand you have a lot of initiative, which is one of the reasons you've been successful. But you also mentioned creativity, and I'm wondering how this creativity showed up when you were a kid.
Yeah, I always enjoyed crafts. I was doing crafts from, the youngest I can remember, and really did them, had my own workshop bench, and then started selling crafts when I was probably in third grade.
Whose idea was it?
Mine.
And how would you go about selling these crafts, and what kind of crafts were they?
They were different things like little tchotchkes and pencils, and sometimes I would make just things to be around the house, cute little arts and crafts.
And how would you sell them? How would you sell this stuff?
We'd get a card table, and they would have craft fairs like in a McDonald's parking lot, and we'd pop up the...
And who is the we?
My mom would come with me. She'd hang out there and watch.
And you were there selling
the crafts? I was the saleswoman,
You were the saleswoman. I see. Okay. Yes. Next question, Jen.
I'm very impressed that you could motivate your siblings to come to school in the summer. How did you get them to do that, and then how does that relate to what you do now?
I don't know if I conned them or convinced them at the time, but I'm going to say I convinced them. I tried to talk to them about that it wouldn't be that long and make it sound fun for them. I think now it's about how do you understand where people are coming from and be persuasive to help people jump on board with your vision.
Mm-hmm. Brian.
Teresa, after you sold Worms and Crafts, what was the next job or the first, I guess, real job maybe that you had where you're making money?
Babysitting.
And what did you learn from that, and what did you different? What did you do different to sort of market yourself in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I babysat for lots of different families, and everybody's kids were different, and it was how do you relate to the different children, especially the family that had five boys ages 3 through 11.
Wait, you're telling me that you're 12 years old, and you're babysitting, and you realized you had to handle each client differently?
Right.
Huh, how about that? Les, did you have a question there?
Yeah, where does this drive come from? What role did your aunt play in all this?
She was a teacher, and I just thought, I looked at her career. She was very career-driven. That was always super exciting to me. She always loved to travel, so that sort of entire way that she lived was exciting to
how
me.
How young were you when you started to actually hone in on her and her career and the way she was to try and emulate her?
Oh, I think probably 7.
Uh-huh. 7 years old.
Is she still around? Is she around now?
She is, yeah.
Uh-huh. Is she aware of what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I think news about me is on her fridge, along with everybody else in the family.
Uh-huh. Has she been to your office?
She has.
Mm-hmm. How do you think she feels walking through your office, realizing it's your office?
Oh, she loves it.
What do you mean?
Well, she's super proud of me. My parents didn't go to college, and so they are also super proud of, you know, all their kids and the careers that we've made.
Mm-hmm. But is it because of all the money you've made?
No, just I think the successfulness and where I've been able to take my initiative and the learning that I've done throughout the years.
Well, wait, I thought success had to do with money. You said all the success you've had. What do you mean?
Just new opportunities every time, being able to take on new challenges, whether it's a project or a team or
it's interesting. I thought success had to do with money, but you're telling me success is taking on new opportunities, taking on new challenges, building new teams. Brett, did you have a question?
Yeah, along with the babysitting, selling crafts, selling Worms, what were some of the earliest skills you learned that you use in your role today?
I loved reading, and I loved math, and I was I loved the precision and science of school, the things that you learn in school, but I loved the art. And so kind of combining the science of that with the creativeness of art is how I got to architecture.
Give me that again. It sounds to me like there's a lot of everything going on with you. Give me that again.
It's the science of education and math and the precision of math along with the creativity of art.
So you're all about balance.
Yeah, I started wanting to go to art school, but I didn't see that as a viable career. So I wanted to really focus in on something that still was very, very creative, but had a little more focus and a lot of opportunities.
Uh-huh. So you're all about building, it's all about building a team for you, isn't it, around the creative vision?
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite things is working with clients and teams to create and figure out the vision for a project or where they want to go, and also for the team, how we're going to get a project completed to the best that we can do.
Huh, about that. Who's got the next question here?
What about Dad? What was he doing, and what do you take from him that you use today?
My dad was a inspector at Pratt & Whitney, and he was always there for the family. He was always making sure my parents worked different shifts so that somebody was always with us. So he would work from 4 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon so he could pick us up.
And how did that affect you growing up?
Family was super important to us, so both my mom and my dad, just making sure that, you know, they were with us and providing for us.
How's that affecting you nowadays in terms of building this business, this thing that family is so important to you?
Yeah, I think I'm extremely loyal. I love working with teams, and I love making sure that the team is strong and
in business, I thought business was blood and guts, and you sue everybody. You're talking about loyalty in business? What are you talking about?
Absolutely. I think we love to have people that work with us for a long time. You can get a great team going. You can get if you don't have a team, you only have one person's ideas. Different people from different teams really provide all sorts of new ideas, including the client as well as the people doing the work.
So you're all about the team, and it sounds to me like you give to get. You know, you realize you're not going to get the loyalty unless you give the loyalty, and you're built that way.
Exactly.
What's the website address for this organization called Gensler?
Gensler.com.
Gensler.com. We've been talking to Teresa Shields, Studio Director and Principal of Gensler, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Be back in a moment right after this break.
Yeah, nice.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, one in four people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Do you want to launch your dream business and avoid a nightmare? Starting and growing a business can be risky. Hi, I'm Heather Havenwood, and as a female entrepreneur for the last 15 years, I have failed and I have won, and I want to help you avoid the pitfalls of small business. Join me here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern with my show, The Win. Let me help you to win as an entrepreneur.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison. The one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. Again, that's 800-213-9256.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce TJ Zlotnitsky, who is President and CEO of iControl Data Solutions. TJ, what is iControl Data Solutions?
We are a retail supply chain management and automation software.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, we're a middleware. Our job is to help retailers and vendors do business with each other more easily. We help them sync information, particularly around inventory and pricing, exchange documents like invoices, automate payments, resolve discrepancies, analyze sales, basically the whole life cycle.
Sounds like you're a real entrepreneur. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Israel.
How young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 12.
Why'd you come to the United States?
My parents made me.
And when you came to the United States, how young were you when you started making money?
I was 12 and 6 months.
And what were you doing to make money?
I was helping my dad. He started a newspaper delivery business.
And didn't it feel rotten? Your friends are outside playing and you're like working at the age of 12?
Not really. First, my father needed my help. And second, it was kind of exciting to start a business.
It was kind of exciting to start a business. It sounds like that's what you're all about, starting businesses and building businesses. You had a reputation while you were in Israel. What was that all about?
Well, I was famous from the age of 6 until the age of 11. I was a professional singer.
You were famous in Israel as a singer, as a young singer.
I was.
And then you came to the United States. What happened to that fame?
I was not famous anymore.
So what did that do to you?
It was pretty tough. I didn't speak the language. I didn't have any friends. My whole personality was based on the fact that I was famous and popular.
So I guess that translated itself into a lot of drive here in order to be successful again.
A lot of self-reflection, and over time, yes. Over time, I wanted to recreate the magic.
What do you mean by self-reflection? What are you talking about?
I didn't have a lot of choice. I only had myself to talk to.
And so what'd you talk to yourself about? I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, I thought that, you know, business was you just go make money, but you're talking about self-reflection and about the human condition.
Not at all. I mean, I was focused first and foremost, especially when it came to business, I was focused mostly initially on delivering some value, then servicing the heck out of that, and only then worrying about making money.
Now, in spite of the fact you were 12 and you came to a strange country, you mentioned that in high school, somehow you ended up being the most valuable player on the baseball team. How'd that happen?
So I actually picked up baseball from playing computer baseball. I'd come to this country and my parents bought me a computer and I occupied myself by playing games. And eventually I found my way to Earl Weaver Baseball. I played it. I fell in love with the game. I decided to come out and try out for the team. Had the glove on the wrong hand initially until they told me which hand I had to have it on, and eventually I rose my way to being the best player on the team and the MVP. Led us to our first ever championship.
What was the position you played on that team?
I played left field and I batted cleanup.
All right. How does the left fielder end up being the most valuable player on the team?
I was just very driven. I was always focused on our team, doing the right thing, being prepared, coming to play.
What effect did you have on your teammates?
I think they knew I took it very seriously. I think they knew I wanted to win.
And what did you say to them?
I asked them to carry on as if this mattered because I thought it did.
You were the great encourager.
I was. I was an encourager, but at times I was also someone that...
What's that have to do with your role at this organization called iControl Data Solutions? Are you the great encourager and also the leader?
I am. It's been interesting. It's run the gamut from starting it up and sort of having a vision to growing it to a couple of years ago bringing Goldman Sachs in as an investor to now being a major player in our business.
Brett, what do you think?
What was the role that your mother played in the family?
My mother was a teacher. She worked really hard. She always encouraged myself and my two brothers to aspire to do great things.
And how do you like to incorporate your family in both the first business you all started as well as your current business?
It's an integral part of what I do. So even iControl is a family business. My two brothers invested in it. One of my brothers is still involved in it. I have a cousin that's involved in the business. So we believe strongly in the culture of working together as a family.
Brian? And then how does that relay into working with your employees, and how does that – I mean, you have very strong family roots.
Yes. You know, interestingly, the company that my father founded eventually became a 2,400-employee company with operations in 33 states. And one of the things that my father was famous for is he never fired anyone. We had a point in time where our business was really struggling, and my father refused to let people go. And we were told that employees were holding prayer vigils on the production floor for the benefit of the company, for the health of the company. And eventually it actually worked. We did turn it around.
Well, why were they holding these prayer vigils?
Because they knew that we cared very deeply about them. They knew that it was as important to us, if not more important to us, that they did well than we and the company did well.
Why would your father not fire anybody if the company was in trouble?
My father was, you know, an interesting guy. He's an entrepreneur, he's a socialist.
Wow. So your father was really all about the people.
He's never changed. He still is.
Isn't that who you are?
I definitely think so. I think I care very much about not only how well I do and how well my company does, but also what impact we have on society and the world.
Brian?
TJ, when did you realize that you were actually an entrepreneur, not just following in the family footsteps?
Probably after I failed miserably in a summer business in college.
And how did that bring you to that realization?
I think I realized that I was determined to try it again. I learned lessons. I wanted to apply them.
Now, are you attracted to entrepreneurship because you want to achieve or build or be creative? What would you say is the motivating factor?
I think I'm motivated by the idea of doing something different, doing something new. Second, I love building teams and building solutions. Third, I like to see ideas turn into reality.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Smolin, what do you think of
it? Yeah, a star in Israel, ages 6 to 11, and all of a sudden that's taken away. Were you aware of just how popular you were and what it meant when you came here then, that all that was gone?
I absolutely was aware of it. At the time that I grew up in Israel, there was one television channel, and I was on it all the time. I was in the Israeli Sesame Street. I performed on television as a singer. I had a record. So I was very aware of where I was, and coming in here and being unknown was quite jarring.
What did you learn about yourself at that point in time that shows up now?
Interestingly, I learned that I wasn't that nice of a person. I learned that I was pretty selfish, and it forced me to look within and change and be a better person.
Wait a second. You're telling me that at one time you thought you were a selfish individual, your father had 2,400 employees and didn't want to lay anybody off, and earlier we were talking in the green room, and you mentioned that the stage of life that you're at, there's certain things that are important to you that weren't necessarily... What are your priorities? What's important to you nowadays?
I'm finding myself more and more attracted to making a difference and carving a path for people that need a hand up. Specifically, as someone that came to this country as an undocumented immigrant, I saw a side to this country that I think is fading, unfortunately. It specifically was around the fact that when I came here, I was able to get subsidized lunch. I was getting English as a second language education. I was able to go to a community clinic and get taken care of. There was a little bit more compassion. There was more opportunities, and I want to bring that back.
Considering your family was responsible for how many jobs creating? How many jobs do you think your family's created in this country?
Gosh, thousands of jobs. We've created hundreds of millions of dollars in wealth.
Mm-hmm. So you're spending a lot of your thought process and thinking about the community nowadays?
I am. I'm actively involved in the Ben Jealous campaign for governor. I'm involved in a group called Patriotic Millionaires for Fiscal Change. I'm involved in an organization called Voices for Progress. I'm trying very hard to not only say what I believe in, but act on my beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here?
So what would you say the biggest moment in your childhood was that leads you towards that path right now?
You know, my father was an advocate and a believer in equality and justice and fairness. When I was a child, I remember my father ran for office, and he ran on a pretty unpopular platform, and we received some death threats at home. And my father was not fazed by that. So I find myself, you know, inspired by that. To this day, I don't care about whether my opinions are popular. I care about what I believe is right, and I'm a big advocate for the things that I care about.
What did your wife tell you about your personality?
My wife thinks I have a lot of my father in me.
What does she mean by that?
I think she mostly means it in a good way. My father is a serial entrepreneur. He's a curious person. He's spent his entire life trying to learn more about things and people, and he cares about things and people, and I think my wife sees the same characteristics.
Is that aware of your success?
Pardon?
Is that aware of your success?
Dad is keenly aware of my success and very proud of it.
And what's he proud of?
I think he's mostly proud of the person that I am, the person's, the children that I've raised, the household that I run.
No, I thought you were going to tell me about the money you made.
Not in the least. I think that's last on his list of priorities.
What are you talking about?
I think my father realizes ultimately, as do I, that how much money you make is a final thing. If you do the right things, if you focus on people and you focus on outcomes, generally speaking, money will follow.
Give me that again. I'm not sure I understand that.
Focus on people. Focus on delivering outcomes, meaning deliver value, and then money will follow.
No, I thought the game with business was you find the customer and you charge whatever you can.
I don't see it that way. I think ultimately customers will pay if you deliver value. If you're a good partner that they know they can count on, they'll pay you. And they'll pay you typically even more than they may someone else if they know that they can count on you. That's how I've run my business, and so far it's worked pretty well.
Give me that again. Let me just make sure I understand that. Just give me that one more time.
We focus first and foremost on delivering value. I think the more consistently we deliver value, the more successful we are. Our customers recognize that we care about their success, and the more successful they are, the better we do.
So it's not about beating up your employees or laying them off, or it's not about trying to rip off your customers. It's trying to take care of everybody. What's the website address of your organization?
It's iControlData.net.
Let me have that one more time.
iControlData.net. .net.
We've been speaking with TJ Zlotnitsky, President and CEO of iControl Data Solutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Byron Patrick.
And Byron, what name is the organization?
Network Alliance.
And what is Network Alliance? What do you guys do?
Network Alliance is an IT service provider, basically providing an outsourced IT department for small businesses.
So what do you do for your clients that's special?
Well, we support them. We like to say everybody can provide the best IT in the world, but if you can't use it, it's meaningless. So we support our clients, use it.
So you really get to know what your clients' needs are.
Absolutely. It's you can't just throw technology at problems. Mm-hmm. You have to understand their challenges in order to support them.
So you're really getting to know your clients and your clients' businesses. So you're making suggestions that they may not have realized they needed.
Oh, absolutely. We're partners with them. We are an extension of their business.
You see yourself as an extension of their business, but you're a technology company.
We are the nerve center for most businesses.
Because the companies really rely on IT nowadays. If the IT goes down, they can't conduct business.
You're dead in the water without us.
So you really want to get to know your clients, and you want to provide that uptime and that solution that really is the best solution for them.
If they're not productive, nobody's doing well.
And I guess that because technology is changing, you're also staying on top of the current changes and constantly feeding them other ideas regarding what they may want to do different or better because you got to know their operation.
Well, and that's the beauty of us working with many small businesses is we see what's going on in the world and in the environment. So we can deliver them best practices and solutions that, you know, inside their box doing their day-to-day, they wouldn't see otherwise.
Excellent, because you've got the perspective of what a lot of other businesses are doing and technology. You're able to give them the best solution. What's the website address for this organization?
Networkalliance.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Networkalliance.com.
You've been speaking with Byron Patrick, Business Development, Network Alliance, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Bentley Hamilton, CEO of Multitherapeutic Services. Bentley, what is Multitherapeutic Services? What are you guys doing?
Multitherapeutic Services is a long-term healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. We have offices. The corporate office is on Connecticut Avenue mm-hmm. with 14 nursing facilities.
Mm-hmm. And how many employees do you have in this organization?
We have about 200 employees.
And what kind of budget you guys working with?
Well, we're working on 12 million right now.
Uh-huh.
But we have downsized because of certain uh-huh. changes in the healthcare
and
industry.
Where are you from originally?
British Turks and Caicos.
And how young were you when you came to the United States?
15 years.
And when you came to the United States at 15 years old, didn't you get some sort of a job?
Yes, I took a job at a parking lot.
At a parking lot. And how'd you feel about working in a parking lot when you're 15?
Well, I always knew that it was nothing permanent. It was just a...
How did you know that?
Well, I always thought that when I grew up and got a real job, it will either be... a politician
mm-hmm.
or a businessman.
So you knew that there was going to be something bigger and greater. Doug, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so is that because you always hung out with older people? Is that what kind of gave you that maturity?
Yes, that's true. I always hung out with older people, even today. And I find a benefit in that because I learned so much from them. I am even told that I acted more mature at those ages when I was that young. So it was definitely a connection there.
Can you give us an example of 8 to 14 years old? You know, what does Doug mean by hanging out with older people?
Well, my interpretation of it is that a kid that's 15 years old mm-hmm. being able to connect with older people,
mm-hmm.
adults, in a comfortable manner, really empowered me.
And when you were living British Turks and Caicos, you mentioned earlier that you were hanging out with older kids. And tell us a little bit about that. And you also mentioned the little experience you had when you were about 10.
Yes, I believe that's where it began. I didn't have an older brother, so I always hung out with older guys mm-hmm. who actually mentored me and they took me along with them. There's no problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was out at the beach and swimming with some older people too, and the tide was higher when we went to another side, and when we came back, the little area that you had to swim across, tides were higher and currents were rushing there. So the older guys were able to pull through it, some with some difficulties, but I was behind them and the current was pulling me too strongly. So I was fighting and trying to get to the other side, and I ended up in the middle in the deepest area.
So you almost drowned.
Almost drowned.
Wouldn't that stop you from hanging out with older boys or older people at that point?
No, I think that excited me because I got to do the things they were doing.
I gotcha. Les, what do you think?
Yeah, just to carry on line of conversation there, who saved you and what did you learn from that you use now?
Yes, there were adults, working nearby. And they saw us coming across that area, and they knew that sometimes the current would be very strong there.
Yeah.
And they also saw me going up and going down, going up and going down. So one of the gentlemen that was in the area jumped off there and got me, swam to me, and pulled me ashore.
Uh-huh. What'd you learn from that experience?
From that experience, I learned to be very cautious, very careful about everything I do.
Ah, interesting. Beth, what do you got?
That experience was meaningful in your life and could somewhat life-changing. What, at that point in your life, did it tell you?
Well, I think that the lesson from that was to be careful, but the experience did not stop me from associating with older people because there is a value to that for me.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
So you said you founded the company at 35, and you're obviously a cautious person. What made you take the jump into this field?
Okay. I had a couple of doctor friends, medical doctor friends, and they together had one facility in the area that I work. They were in financial and other problems and had other problems with the government, so they would have lost their certification. And before that happened, they reached out to me and they said, look, I know a director in this field right now. Let me join you guys together. You have the financial and management expertise, and the other person has the healthcare expertise.
So you like working with other people, don't you? Older, you know, the older boys when you were a kid, you liked working with partners as you got involved with this business. You're a partner kind of guy, aren't you?
That is correct. A lot of people are afraid of partnership.
Mm-hmm. But you know it. You're comfortable with it. Les?
Yeah, the business was sinking, and they bring you in to save it?
This business was just a step to what I have now. Mm-hmm. My partner and I had 30 days to turn it around and to remove all the deficiencies. Otherwise, the government would have still go ahead and close it. So we worked around the clock, night and day, for 30 days. We even had one or two friends that came over and helped lend us a helping hand.
Mm-hmm. What was it about you, though, that made you decide to take the risk in doing that? Being as cautious and as careful as you tend to be.
Well, and having to do it, so quickly, I got to learn about what it was to help people, and I myself, with my almost drowning experience, know that people like to help, and I said, okay, I'm going to take this one facility
and build another
company.
What's the name of the organization, Bentley?
Multi-Therapeutic Services.
We've been speaking with Bentley Hamilton, CEO of Multi-Therapeutic Services, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, could you give us a rundown on who we've had an opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. B.A. Spignardo, Senior Counsel at Shapiro, Lifshitz, and Schramm. We had Michael Wellman, Founder and CEO of Virtual Security. We had Vet Freeman, Principal and Managing Partner at District Design and Development, and Bentley Hamilton, CEO of Multi-Therapeutic Services, Inc.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. Les Smolin, Vistage, Mike Rossnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Beth Berman, Association for Enterprise Growth, and Doug White, Glass Jacobson, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Michael, what is the website address for the Arlington Chamber of Commerce?
commerce?
ArlingtonChamber.org.
Let me have that one more time.
ArlingtonChamber.org.
All right. And Liz, the website address for Vistage?
Vistage.com.
Doug, the website address for Glass Jacobson?
GlassJacobson.com.
And Beth, the Association for Enterprise Growth?
EnterpriseGrowth.org.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Here we go. Bye.
Excellent. We did that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.